Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. I know that you wanted to hear the rest of what Cantor Bernie Rubenstein was saying on yesterday's broadcast, and that's one reason you tuned in today. And if you missed yesterday's broadcast, we'd be glad to send you the entire week sharing. It's cassette number 151. We found out that Cantor Bernie Rubenstein came from an Orthodox Jewish background where Judaism meant a great deal to him. And he prepared and he studied. And one day, at age 10, a young friend of his, an Episcopalian, gave him a New Testament. And he took it with fear and yet interest. But he was a little worried that his father might find him reading this. And sure enough, his greatest fears came upon him because he was reading that new covenant. And his father walked into the bedroom. And Bernie, that's where we left off. What happened? You had said you had just read something that you considered right. to be very meaningful. What did you read?
I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, the words of the Lord Jesus, where he talks about those who are blessed that we in the world would normally reject. Blessed are those who suffer. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have spiritual deprivation. All of this I presented to my father when he said to me, "What is it that you're reading?" One thing that I knew that I could never do was lie to my father. And so I looked him straight in the eye. I remember this as though it happened yesterday. And I said to him, I said, "Pop, I didn't say I was reading the New Testament. I said, I'm reading the words of Jesus." My father became infuriated without allowing me one word of explanation. "Where did you get this trash?" he said to me. I told him that my friend Ronnie had given it to me. He says, "What is Ronnie trying to do? Convert you?" I said, "No, Ronnie and I just had a couple of conversations along religious, spiritual lines concerning his interpretations of God and my interpretations of God. And he said, in order for me to understand more about where he was coming from, that I should read the New Testament. And I also gave him some of our material to read concerning the blessings and concerning the holidays and the feasts and the festivals of Judaism so that we would understand each other's position better." My father then took the Bible that Ronnie had given me and just threw it across the room and said, "You are never again to pick this up again because it is not given to you by God. And if it has not been given to you by God, if you have it in your possession, then something very, very bad will happen to you." Of course, the way he expressed himself was not quite as gentle as I'm expressing it to you right now.
What kind of effect did this have on you, Bernie?
Well, it had a very detrimental effect on me spiritually because I began to take issue with my father even the next morning when we went to daven together at the synagogue for Shacharit. I began calling things to his attention. For instance,
wait a sec. Did you daven every day?
Yes.
Say your prayers every
yes,
day.
Yes, of course. It was required of me by my father. I would go with him to synagogue every morning, and at least three or four times a week, I would go with him to the synagogue for the mincha and the maariv prayers in the evening as well. But that morning, after this incident had happened, I was davening with my father. And I came across a paragraph in the Amidah, the Shemona Esrei, the 18 benedictions of glory to God, which in Hebrew is recited this way, Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed, Mechayei Meitim Barachamim Rabim, Somech Noflim Rofei Choli Umatir Asurim, Umekayim Unoto Lishnafar, Miechamocha Baal Gvurot, Umido Melech, Melech Mimit Mechay Matzmiach Yeshua. And it translates.
I just heard something familiar, Bernie.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm going to explain something to you. How this is the first time that I began to associate any possible identity between Jesus and these words. Not incorporating the name Yeshua, of course.
Yes.
And to me, Yeshua used here, I always used in terms of what it actually means, salvation. The translation of the paragraph that I just recited from the Shemoneh Esrei. Thou sustainest the living with kindness, and revivest the dead with great mercy. Thou supportest all who fall, and healest the sick. Thou settest the captives free, and keepest faith with those who sleep in the dust. Who is like thee, Lord of power, who resembles thee, O King? Thou bringest death, and restorest life, and causest salvation to flourish.
Yeshua.
Yeshua, the name for salvation, the word for salvation. I asked my father about this one particular paragraph from the Amida, because it's so closely paralleled in my heart and in my mind, the words that I had read the night before, the words of the Lord Yeshua in the Sermon on the Mount, especially concerning the presence of God, who supports all who fall and who heals the sick and sets the captives free. I said, I can't understand why we can't believe in Jesus. I said this to him right in the middle of the Shacharit service, when everyone who was standing around, the entire minyan, could hear exactly what I was saying. So you can imagine, here are all these men who are davening the Shacharit prayer, and all of a sudden, this twerpy little voice says, Daddy, why can't we believe in Jesus? Mm. You can imagine what that was.
Yeah, I imagine if he got upset the night before, he got doubly upset.
The rabbi, as a matter of fact, heard it, and came up to my father after the service, and said to him in Yiddish, Shmuel, zog mir epis, was the mer mit deine zin? He said, Sam, tell me something. What's wrong with your son? He said, he's krank in Kopperein, he's sick in his head. I, of course, understood Yiddish, and I went up to the rabbi, and I said, Rabbi, all I want is the truth. But at that time, that was, let's say, the beginning of what was to become a spiritual adventure, a spiritual odyssey that would bear fruit many, many years later in my life. But the seed had been planted. It's so awesome to me, the mysterious ways in which God works.
Let's go to that next step. I asked you, could you picture being on a broadcast such as this, the Messianic Vision, 10 years ago? And you said, of course not. And 10 years was a very testing period of your life. What occurred then?
Well, I went on with life as though nothing earth-shaking or startling had taken place. But nonetheless, the seed of faith had been planted. The desire to know more about this truth, the very, very small portion of which I had read in the Sermon on the Mount, had engrossed me in such a way that I simply could not put it out of my system. I continued to go to synagogue daily. I continued to engage in my studies. My parents took me out of elementary school and decided to send me to a yeshiva in Baltimore, Maryland. They sent me to the Ne'er Yisrael Talmudic Academy in Baltimore, where I became a very exemplary student. I was taken in on the honors program to be part of a Talmudic study class. And my father was satisfied because he felt as though I was beginning to grow and develop into the type of Jew that he wanted to mold me into, one who would be a Jew who had a very astute rabbinical persuasion in life, who indeed might one day grow to develop into a rabbi. I didn't grow to develop into a rabbi, but it was at this same stage in my life that I developed a sincere and deep appreciation for the music of the synagogue, and I began to sing in cantorial choirs and to study under some of the great names in cantorial music. To the point that when I was 14, 15 years old, I was able to chant the entire liturgy for the High Holy Days. I developed a male soprano voice, which my parents hoped would develop into a tenor. Unfortunately, as a result of a physical condition at the age of 13, it developed by the age of 15 or 16 into the very deep bass that you hear right now. This sort of thwarted all of my parents' hopes that I would become one of the world's great, great cantorial tenors.
What happened next, Bernie?
After I left Ne'er Yisrael Talmudic Academy and went into the eighth grade in a public junior high school in Washington, D.C., my values again became distorted. I had, as a result of my Judaic education, become very, very much acclimated to the totality of Jewish living. And I developed a deep and profound appreciation for my identity as a Jew in terms of synagogal involvement and worship involvement. It became sort of a prideful thing with me that here were all of my Jewish friends in junior high school who really knew very little about worship, who knew very little about synagogal methodology in terms of Jewish identity, and I was a know-it-all. I was the one that everybody turned to when they wanted an answer pertaining to Chumash, or when they wanted an answer pertaining to Talmud. And it became a very, very prideful thing with me. I still wonder whether or not a remnant of that still exists. My father, may he rest in peace, always said that the Jew cannot be destroyed for one reason other than it was part of God's plan that the Jew should survive. And my father would say, because of the Jew's pride, survival is something which must be accomplished.
And Scripture talks about our stiff neck.
Right, it's the same thing. It's basically the same thing.
So what happened to cause you to change?
Well, the change didn't happen until many, many years later. You've got to remember that we're talking about someone who is in his, in the youthful state of 16 or 17 years old, who has become preoccupied with situations that are more require a greater amount of social rather than spiritual involvement. My values changed when I was 15, 16 years old.
Bernie, our time is up.